Put out all hypocrisy. Lord God, bless this proclamation for the sake of these dear ones for whom Jesus died and rose for their forgiveness. I am not worthy, but only say the word, and I shall proclaim according to your truth and your spirit. All others are vain. I count all but loss that I Christ may obtain. Let us pray to the Lord. May the words of my mouth and the meditation in our hearts be pleasing in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The story in today's gospel about Mary and Martha with Jesus is very popular, and it appears to be one in which Martha gets all of the bad press. This can be a little bit confusing. After all, Jesus taught in Luke chapter 10 and in chapter 9 of Luke that missionary travelers would be provided for by their hosts. In Luke chapter 10 verse 7, in fact, Jesus teaches his disciples and remain in the same house, eating and drinking what they provide. For the laborer deserves his wages. Do not go from house to house, unquote. It seems that Jesus is basically doing what he taught his disciples to do, even as we read in Luke chapter 10, verse 38, which says, "Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house." In effect, this was exactly according to Jesus' teaching. Martha was doing a fantastically important good work. Imagine being able to host the Lord Jesus Christ, who is true man, needed rest, needed drink, needed food, needed these resources, and Martha was providing these things for him. Martha was focused on the task. It was a wonderful task. She wanted to help Jesus. How can this possibly be a bad thing? Not only does it appear that she was being obedient to Jesus' prior teaching about missionaries being welcomed, she was serving Christ, who himself had said about himself in Matthew chapter 8, verse 20, that he didn't even have a place to lay his head. Martha wanted to make sure that the task of hospitality would be done properly, and she wanted to make sure that it was more than efficient for the Lord of glory. She was flabbergasted, therefore, by the fact that her sister Mary was not helping. There was work to be done. Jesus had taught about this very scenario. It was now their call to be faithful in supporting him and serving him for his crucial ongoing ministry. So Martha was bold, and she interrupted Jesus speaking to Mary and said, as what is recorded in verse 40, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." Martha had been missing something that is so easy for us to miss as well, brothers and sisters in Christ. There's no question that Jesus taught about how the disciple missionaries were to be received. They were to look for and expect kind souls who confessed the name of the Lord, who would open their homes and replenish them for their ongoing service in the kingdom. Take care of them, keep them strong in their missionary journey. These people would take care of God's servants. This is, for example, what all of you do for me and my family here at St. Paul's. You provide generous hospitality for me and my wife and my children. And as a result, I get to conduct what I consider to be the best work in the world. I love being a pastor. And you bless me. And you enable me to do it because of what you provide for me. Thank you. I praise God for you. It doesn't get any better than that. However, there's a goal behind taking care of the servants of God. That goal is not simply to provide the good work of caring for them, for their bodily needs. It is rather for the greater goal, which is to receive the message of the saving gospel for those servants of God that you provide for. Thus, Jesus never contradicted himself. The disciples were most definitely blessed to have a host taking care of them. But even more, the host was blessed because the host was to become a guest. And the guest was to become a host. The missionary would become the host of God's word proclaimed in order to feed the souls of those providing lodging and food. That is, the missionary was the spiritual host, giving spiritual food that lasts forever, while the person giving lodging was a physical host, giving the physical food. They would be blessed to receive the missionary by receiving the word of God from that same missionary. And in this way, the Lord continues to accomplish his great commission and equips his church more and more with the saving gospel. All of this is to say, dear Christians, that the first goal of providing this hospitality is to receive the word of Christ. Martha missed this. And in our sin, so do we. This gospel is very revealing about our basic problem. I want to share three particular words which flow from this gospel in Luke 10, which tell us about our sin. The first word is towards the beginning of verse 40. The word of the Lord says, but Martha was, and here's the word, distracted. The original word means to be dragged around. Here she was doing a good work, but she was distracted while she was doing that good work. Just look at Mary. Perhaps Martha wanted to do what Mary was doing, but this had to be done. We have all kinds of things to get done in the kingdom and in the church. There's just so much to do. And as we get focused on all of the other tasks in the church, we miss out on what is most important, even while we conduct good works. The next two words are Jesus' diagnosis of Martha, recorded at verse 41. Martha, Martha, you are anxious and you are troubled. The word anxious is taken from a base word that means a part. That is, the word emphasizes the state of knowing division. There's so much going on that the mind is divided. And I confess to you, I need your prayers. I carry this little notebook. You probably notice. You ever talk to me, you see this notebook in my shirt pocket here. And I try to keep track of all the things I need. You know, I need to call and phone and visit and, you know, remember this and that. And sometimes a day can go by and I have not put the proper time into the Word of God in prayer as your pastor. You're thinking about this. You're thinking about that. You're trying to do this. You're trying to do that. You have a divided mind. A mind going 24 directions at the same time. And as a result, even as you confess Jesus, your peace is gone. You don't know how it's all going to get done. And so the third word results. And that third word is anxiety. You feel troubled. It means to be tossed about like being in a storm. That's what we sinners know. We know this condition of word number one, being distracted, being dragged around as we're so busy. As a result, having a divided mind, feeling overwhelmed and in the meantime losing sight of what's most important in life, the Word of God, and as a result, exchanging the peace of God with anxiety and worry. These words describe our sin. Jesus comes to us, and our first inclination is all the work that we got to do. There's so much to do. There's so much to get done. So we start working. And before we know it, we become more divided. We're now doing so much and convincing ourselves that it's all for the good. And then we become exhausted and divided. And with this occurs even people who are extremely dedicated in the kingdom of God can lose their joy and their peace even within God's church. They're so divided, they feel tossed around and out of control. And frankly, they can forget the whole reason why they started to serve the Lord to begin with. So Jesus lovingly corrects Martha. There was a priority to be had. She had to stop. She needed to do what Mary was doing. What was Mary doing? She was sitting at Jesus' feet and listening to the Word. At the end of the day, Jesus calls all of us to get back to the proper order. He must be the host, we must be the guest. He must feed us, we must be fed. The one thing necessary is to receive the Word of the Lord. The highest priority is to be fed with the Word and the sacrament. And if this one thing takes priority in your life by the grace of God, by the Holy Spirit, everything else is kept in alignment in your life. This is not in my prepared manuscript. My wife and I are very excited as our third child is soon to be entering into holy matrimony, my dear Danielle. We pray for her and her future husband, Simon. We pray for them to know all that God's Word provides in taking care of marriage. A long time ago, when Tracy and I were starting off, we would talk about the fact that if she ever saw me, a lack of patience, a lack of giving her proper attention, I wasn't right with her. We knew what the reason was. It wasn't a mystery. It's because I wasn't right with the Lord. I wasn't right in the Word. When we're aligned with this one thing needful by the grace of God, everything else is in alignment. The Lord says in Matthew 6:33. Let's proclaim it together. Page 16, middle of the page, Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And Jesus says this after He is bestowing His grace and His Spirit upon the listeners, the poor and needy, hungry, crying listeners who are there at His feet, receiving His grace, receiving His Word, lifting them up, enabling them to seek the one thing needful. And everything else will be provided for. When I was in the seminary, the late Dr. Robert Preuss taught me about the beauty of the hymn that we just sang a little while ago, The One Thing Needful, and he brought it out in our class on justification one day, and we talked about the words in detail. And I've come to love that hymn ever since. It's one of my favorite hymns. I love the hymn Amazing Grace, but I'd never know that God's grace is amazing apart from the one thing needful that is the Word. I love the hymn Beautiful Savior, especially since it means so much to my wife because it was her grandmother's favorite hymn. But I would never know that Jesus is my beautiful Savior without the Word of God. I love the hymn How Great Thou Art, one of the favorite hymns of a parishioner back in Texas who wanted me to sing it to him as he breathed his last and I was singing it to him as he went to heaven. But I would never know God's greatness apart from the Word of God. Apart from the one necessary thing. With this one thing, this one necessary thing, everything else comes into focus and is properly known. And I'm proud of the fact that in working with Dr. Russell Dunn, our stewardship leader, our stewardship director, when we begin our stewardship program this fall here at St. Paul's, it will not begin by our asking you to give your time, treasures, and talents. It will begin by starting a program so that we as a congregation are more in the Word of God on a personal basis, family basis, small group basis, and corporate basis more than ever before. Because if you're right with the Word and you're right with the Lord, everything else will follow. Through the Word of Christ, we exchange divided hearts and divided minds for single-mindedness and single-heartedness. We will desire more than anything the Word of Christ. And in so doing, by the grace of God, through faith in Jesus and by the Holy Spirit alone, we will discover that when we have the Word as our priority, then we will have everything else we need. The Word of God that flows from Christ created the heavens and the earth. The Word of God raised the dead. It will raise the dead again on the glorious last day. It has power to create your faith, and it has in the waters of holy baptism, and the power to sustain it, and it does in the holy sacrament of the altar. It has power to direct your life, to do wonderful things in the kingdom of God, which the world may not notice, but which will be remembered when you enter into heaven because you did them in faith. A few years ago, I got to help my son and daughter move from Connecticut to St. Louis so that my son could commence his seminary studies. When we arrived to St. Louis, we decided to celebrate our arrival by taking a cab to the old spaghetti factory by the arch and by the river, along the river. We were amazed at what happened. The cab driver's name was Lugano. He was an African from Tanzania. We had a wonderful conversation with his fellow Christian in the taxi cab. We were mutually blessed. First of all, he was a very humble man. When he found out that I was a pastor, that AJ was preparing for the pastoral ministry, he received the Word of God from me in his cab. I became the host in his cab. I felt compelled to speak to Lugano's great hope that his 13-year-old son named Emmanuel would go in to the ministry, to become a pastor. I shared with Lugano Acts chapter 2 and Joel chapter 2 about how the Lord continues to raise up young men with a vision of God's sacred revelation in the Word of God to know Jesus as Savior and to answer His call. I felt moved to give Lugano a cross to give to his son Emmanuel. Tell him I pray he will go into the ministry. Lugano insisted that he pick us up after the meal. He did. And when he did, he turned off his meter. And he proceeded to give us the greatest tour of the city of St. Louis that I had ever experienced. Talk about giving my son and my daughter-in-law a welcome to St. Louis. When we got to the hotel, we held hands, we prayed, we gave each other big hugs in the name of the Lord. And part of Lugano's testimony was the many instances that the Lord had seemingly miraculously provided for him. The Word of Christ filled this man. Couldn't talk about it enough. And he discovered, I could tell, the one thing needful. Jesus also told Martha that Mary had chosen the good portion, that it would not be taken away from her. It was a play on words. As Martha was preparing the portions of food, right? But Jesus' food was eternal food. It doesn't spoil. It doesn't fade. It lasts forever. This is the food that Jesus gives to you. His Word, His body, His blood, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Take this Word, and it will never be taken from you. Hold to this Word, and God will hold to you. Make it yours, the peace of God, will be stronger than your anxiety. It is true that Christ lived and died and rose for you and that you would be saved. It's also true that the Lord is actively keeping you in His Word today. Therefore, He is actively, even now, saving you today through His Word. He's keeping you saved. He does this by giving you the one necessary thing, which is the Word of God itself. Please read with me 1 Peter chapter 1, 22 through 25 on page 18. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding Word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the Word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. Thanks be to God, Christian. God has given to you the one necessary thing, the Word. And with that Word, you have Christ. And with Christ, you have the Savior from being dragged around anxious and troubled by sin. And you are given in Him the peace of God which surpasses all understanding. As He took upon Himself all of your dividedness and anxiety and dragged around sin on the cross, covering it with His blood, rising in victory to give you life everlasting. You have the one thing. You have Jesus because you have the Word. May this Word abide in our hearts forever. In Jesus' name. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus until He comes again in glory. Amen. We stand for the creed. We confess, I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of His Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, but things.